They're not, but I really like you, and I'd like for them to get to know you a little bit.
I'm just happy to be here. I always want to come to Alabama and enjoy what I saw and met today. Your pastor is lovely. Amen. I like being around you. Praise God. And my wife is great. She's
going to
stretch. She's going to fix everything.
Yeah. Let's make Sister Bowles feel welcome in the house tonight. We love you. Appreciate you.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm excited to be here, and I'm going to set things straight. I heard Brother Pixler came and told you men that you were the head of the household. Well, I've come to tell you otherwise. We are going to have some fun. We are going to have some fun. But first, let me tell you a little bit about me first. I'm actually a marriage and family therapist, and that's what I do. I have a full-time practice. I also teach university, and my specialty is marriage. About half of my clients are men, and they come to me because they want to understand women. And those are my really long sessions, those men that want to understand women. But we have a good time, and I really love what I do. My husband and I have been married almost 34 years. I know it. Isn't that great? It's the 34 best years of his life. He's such a great support. No, he really is super duper. And we have two beautiful children. My daughter is 29. And she's getting ready to get married, like in 2 weeks, and I'm so excited for her wedding. I told her and her gonna-be husband, I'm buying you a crib, because it's all about the grandchildren at this point. And so she's telling me something about her wedding, and I said, listen, honey, your wedding is not about you. This is about my future grandchildren, and that's it. My son's 24, and I just thank God both my kids were raised in the church, and my husband and I are first generation, and we both met in the church. He is almost perfect, but he has been in therapy for a long time. And so I told him if he gets out of line, which he does not get out of line, but if he does, I medicate him. And so I was looking at incredible advice. Since we've only got like 1 hour right now, we got 1 hour tomorrow, I just want to like stuff you with the greatest advice so that way you can walk away and you have something. So this is advice for you husbands. I didn't get a chance to do the research for the wives, but I make sure I got you husbands taken care of. All right, advice number one, men, listen, type this up. Are you typing? Okay. I'll give you my notes. I'll make sure. Okay. Leave past mistakes behind you. When a man gets married, he should leave the past behind him and forget all of our poor choices. Are you getting that? Forget all of our, O-U-R, poor choices. Because there's no use in two of us remembering. Arguments. Number two. Men, taking notes. Number two. Número dos, señor. Fine is not an acceptable way to end an argument. Guys, when we are talking to you and you say fine, that is not appropriate. Things like you are right again work really well for us women. Isn't that correct, women? How many of you have agreed? Let's give that a hand clap if you agree. Yep, okay. You are right again. That works perfectly. All right, number three. Honey, do I look fat in this? If a woman ever asks you that, fall to the floor in a mock coma. Just be sick, start throwing up, run to the bathroom, whatever you have to do. But don't ever answer that question, because I'm telling you, we don't want to know the truth. We do not know. Okay, kitchen advice. I have this for you men. Women love when men cook. Isn't that great? We love it when men cook. But what we think is really, really sexy is a man that does the dishes. Isn't that the truth, ladies? Oh, I tell you what, I'm giving you guys good advice. You want to have a happy marriage, do these things. Are you typing, Brother Sutton? Okay, wardrobe advice. I have wardrobe advice for you men. You guys writing? Are you typing? Wardrobe. Men look nerdy in black socks and sandals. I don't care how you do it, but black socks and sandals do not go well. Things never to say to your wife, guys, please make note of this. It's very, very important. Have you put on weight? That is never a question you ask your wife. Never. My mom didn't make it like that. That is never, ever appropriate. Have you ever thought about plastic surgery? Never, never appropriate. It's never appropriate to buy a woman a cookbook for Christmas. Nope. And you never say things like, I thought you needed this. Never. Can you imagine? Your face went, yeah, I thought you needed this, right? That's like a slap in the face for us. All right, anniversary. What anniversary? Guys, never. Ask your mother-in-law, look up at old books, but know your anniversaries. Okay, mind the pillows, guys. I'm trying to help you out. We know it sounds crazy. It does sound crazy, but don't sleep on the decorative pillows on the bed. Guys, I'm helping you with some real, now this is deep counseling. This is what I get paid hundreds of dollars to tell people. Do not sleep on the decorative pillows. Don't be cheap. I had a girl tell me, the guy just took her out for her first date. And she was looking, I said, really? I said, where'd you go? She said, In and Out. And I said, that's not appropriate. Drop him. Okay, so we love it when you take us out to dinner, but does it always have to be fast food Chinese? That is not a date. All right. Little things mean a lot to us. Isn't that truth, lady? Amen. Right, we don't want huge, big things. We want little things, like tell us that you love us, kiss us on the lips, flowers, we love that. We love it when you also, though, when you replace the toilet roll, the toilet paper on the isn't that the truth? Flowers, kisses, hugs, all those things. But please, there's things that are important. And remember, this is the last one. Remember, are you guys still taking notes? Chunky is a candy bar. Never use it in reference to your wife. And I apologize, but I didn't have time to get advice for the women. So we're just going to move on again to the men. All right, men, you ready? Pull out your paper. Do you know your wife? Okay, now, ladies, there is no talking. You cannot help them with this. I want to see how much they know about you. It's somewhere there. It says, do you know your wife? Test. I don't want no whispering, ladies. We're going to check this out. Are we ready? Do you know your wife? Test. This is only for the men. Number one, men, what is your wife's favorite color? I hear a lot of wives giggling. What's your wife's favorite color? There should be no talking with this test. Number two, how often does she shop for groceries? Once a week, twice a week. I don't know why we're laughing. How often does she shop for groceries? Number three, what is her mother's maiden name? I see a lot of shoulders going up. What is her mother's maiden name? Four, which gift would your wife prefer? A gift card to her favorite store or flowers? What does your wife like best? Flowers or a gift card? Number five, has she ever used a power saw? Six, 6, what's her favorite restaurant? Ladies, we're not talking. What is her favorite restaurant? 7. I'm just going to go quickly since I know you know the answers. 7, when eating chicken, does she like white or dark meat? I know you know number 8. What color is her everyday handbag? I wish I could show everybody on the screen what your face looks like. What color is your everyday handbag? 9, what would she prefer, a full-time maid or a full-time cook? Not both. 10, how often does your wife wash your hair? 11, there is nothing wrong with separate vacations. Would she agree or disagree? You're going to be in trouble after this one. I start sessions from 10 to 11, and I have some from 11 to 12. 12, does she own a red jacket? 13, does she prefer coffee or tea? And 14, the big major question of the night, what color is the bedspread on your bed, men? You know that bed that you go to bed every night? What color is that bedspread? All right, wives, check their answers. Help him, God. Help him, ladies. This is all about communication. How'd you do, buddy? Huh? You got them all? I'm proud of you. He's very good for him. Who made 100%? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Good for you guys. Let's give them a hand of applause. All right, women, it's your turn. One wrong, you did good. Okay, do you know your husband's wives? Now, don't be helping them, guys. 1, do you know your husband's? If you say cross your legs, will he cross them at the ankles, cross them at the knees, or put one ankle on the other knee? Now, you can't look under the table. Number 2. How does he put on his shoes and socks? Does he put a sock in a sock, then a shoe in a shoe, or a sock in a shoe, then he puts on the other sock in the shoe? They do this out of habit. You'll notice next time, I promise. They do. When was the last time that he spoke on the phone or in person with one of his relatives, and which one was it? Working on communication skills here and just having fun. In which pocket does he carry his wallet? Left back, right back, front right. Let's talk about your husband's talents. Can he raise one eyebrow at a time? Don't try it, guys. Seven, did he collect anything as a child? Ladies, how many times does your husband brush his teeth a day? Once, before he goes to bed, twice, after every meal. What does he consider his best physical feature? Name the person that he considers his closest friend. Who's his closest friend? Hint, better be you. What was his first job? Number 12. Who is his favorite among your relatives? Who's his favorite among your relatives? 13. What's his favorite ice cream? 14. Does he know the birth date of at least one of your relatives? Does he know your mama's birth date? All right, let's correct them. All right. Who got 100%? Wow, guys. Less women, actually, than men. Who got 100%? You did. You did. Good. Okay, still, it's less women than men. Did we learn something? Good. All right. Let's put your papers away. We're going to talk a little bit today. This is how it's going to go. One, you have those piece of papers in front of you. As we're working through this tonight, we're just going to talk for about 30 minutes. I'm going to talk a little bit about what we're going to call developing emotional and sexual connectedness. Okay? And if you have any questions, and it can be random questions, like help my husband with, you know, or help my husband with... or help my husband with I'm teasing. No, any kind of random questions that you might have in regards to marriage or even parenting. And then what we're going to do is tonight I'll gather those papers and you can turn them in tomorrow as well if you think of some during the evening. And then tomorrow we're actually going to go through the questions and they're anonymous. And then we're all going to actually help together. We're going to answer the questions together, and then I will help you as much as I can. And the reason why I want to do that is because I want to hit at the core of maybe some of the questions that people might have that don't get covered in a marriage retreat. Okay? So we kind of get right to the point. Can we do that? Okay, great. So make sure that you're writing that. Okay. There's a scripture found in Ecclesiastes 99, and it says, "Live joyfully with one you love all the days of your life." Now that can be difficult though sometimes. We know that, right? And why? Because we're human. We're human. No marriage is perfect. So don't expect yours to be, right? Marriage is a journey. We learn, right? We learn what works for each other and that kind of thing. But there's certain things that you can do to help so that the roads aren't so bumpy. And so that's what you're here to learn, okay? All right. So 2,077,000 couples every year make the decision to get married. And what they say is that they're going to spend the rest of their lives together, and they vow, when they do their marriage vows, never to allow anything to separate them. Not poverty, remember? Remember? Not poverty, not hot flashes, not 50-pound weight gains, not snoring, nothing. Nothing will separate them. No misery will ever dampen their love. Isn't that the truth? That's kind of how we start out. And then the next day, half of the people, though, that marry, actually it's over 60% right now of people that marry and their marriages end up in divorce. But for Christians, it's different. And so what the statistics show is that fundamental Christians that go to church at least one time per week together, they're at a 33% rate. So there's 33% of those marriages that end up in divorce, which is really kind of sad too. And so, but what is the reason for that? So that's what psychologists are looking at. Why the divorce rate? Why amongst even the Christian community? Well, it's simply this. They drift apart. And that can be pretty easy to do. You're very blessed to have a great church that does these retreats, and I'm really glad that you take a part of those because it just helps you come together as couples without the kids for the most part and just kind of enjoy some time. Okay, so the core reason is they simply drift apart. And how they simply drift apart is by stopping spending time with each other. And then you lose a relationship. It's the same way that people backslide. When you stop praying and you stop talking to God or you stop going to church, and then you backslide because you don't have no longer that relationship. And it's a very, very much the same in marriage. Now, I'm not here this weekend to tell you about all the things that you're not doing right, okay? I'm here to try to do my best to move you from A to B, and that's just the next step, okay? So I'm here to add strength and fix some of the things that some of you wives have told me that need to be fixed about your husbands. I want to tell you that my husband and I actually grew up in very dysfunctional homes. And so most of his family were alcoholics. And I think something like 90% of his families were alcoholics. He moved a lot. There was a lot of relationships. My family, it was very abusive. My father sexually abused the children and was physically abusive. So then we both go to church and we get the Holy Ghost. And then we come together and we fall in love. And then what happens? Well, the reality is we get the Holy Ghost, and when God gives you the Holy Ghost and he gives you the grace, he's giving you the grace to live for him. However, we didn't have the skills to know how to have a relationship because all I never ever knew was abuse, and all he ever knew was abuse. So we come together and we face a lot of challenges. And because I had been sexually abused, that even put me at a different level of challenge. Okay, but let me tell you this. And I say this for everybody. Any marriage can make it if you really want it to. You know, so if people ask me all the time, they say, Beth, Give me one word of the reason why there are so many divorces, and I will use one word, and it's the absolute truth. It's called selfishness. It really is. It's just selfishness. So a lot of people, I want to point out that when we come into a marriage, we come with our own stuff. I had learned that when a person got angry and upset, you shut down. So I didn't talk. And so my husband had learned as he grew up that when you got angry, that you followed that person until they told you what was wrong. And they would yell. His mom was a yeller. And so, you know, I get upset, we get upset, we have an argument, and I shut down. I just don't even want to talk. I just don't want to face it because I had dealt with so much abuse in my life. And he's following me. And he this is what he's doing. No, we are going to handle it. Right now, we're going to handle it. And then I'd just start crying. And then that would make him madder. Why are you crying? I'm just trying to handle it. You know? He's conquering. How many of you guys ever did that? Well, in church. So we get in church, and we get full of the Holy Ghost, and we go to a great church and all this stuff. And we learn all about, you know, it's wrong to have premarital sex and all this kind of stuff. And God hates adultery. But what we don't learn is what to do after we get married and we're Christians. Then what? You know, where's the classes after that? Isn't that the truth? So that's kind of what I want to do, part of my life. I want to try to fit that next component so that we're not just talking about what not to do. But let's start talking about what to do to make things good. Because the family is so important. It's the foundation of the church. And then you got to remember that people, kids, are watching every single one of you. And so you are imitating what marriage is supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So we want to be really careful. One of the best ways, psychologists say, behaviors are learned. One of the best ways to teach your children and teach the children and the teenagers in the church is by living Christ. And part of living Christ, and we always talk about how men are supposed to treat us like Christ loved the church. Well, we're supposed to also treat them like our lords. I'm not saying call them lord, so don't get excited, guys. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if you respect him and he respects you and there's a lack of selfishness because you spend your life trying to make him happy, and he spends his life trying to make you happy, then we have this whole cycle of a really good life. And then your kids grow up and they see that. And what do they see? They see mom expressing love towards dad. They don't see negative talking, things like that. These are the things that we've got to, an absolute must, have got to happen in the church. Okay, if it happens anywhere, it's got to happen in the church. Okay, let's talk a little bit about intimacy, because we don't hear this. So I want to talk a little bit about intimacy. God never designed sex to be a duty for anybody. It's not a duty. Hollywood has made sex to be this horrible, horrible thing, and that was never God's intention. We cannot teach our children that. All right, this has to be a positive. All right, so God made intimacy see something actually to be enjoyed, and he made it for you. So it's not, the only reason for sex is not only to procreate. It's actually something for you to enjoy. And so we're going to talk about that. If you have intimacy problems, all right, like impotency, and it could be that maybe there's a problem, physical problem, or maybe for a woman because she maybe was molested and there's some issues there, then you need to figure out somebody that can help you with that. A lot of times those are physiological problems. Okay, so sometimes it's a matter of going to the doctors and figuring out what the problem is. If a woman's going through menopause and we have low drops in estrogens, drops, and then there's less want for these things, like intimacy. And that has to do with an estrogen drop. Okay? There's things that women can do to help that. And it's called progesterone. They can actually go even to, and you would ask your doctor, but you can get progesterone creams at natural food stores. And that actually helps rise that up so that you don't have such mood swings. Okay? But there's all kinds of things. All right. So, has anybody ever heard of a Prapl? A Prapl. A Prapl is actually was a grafting of an apple and a pear together. And so they grafted this tree that's called Prapl. And this is, I actually, when I saw that, I thought, because what's that one drink? It's like a, I forget the name of this drink. What was that drink? Snapple, right. They have this drink called Prapl, and it's actually made by this pear and this apple. And when I saw that, I thought, you know what that reminds me of? That's kind of symbolizing what happens in our marriage, okay? When God says that two become one, what does two become one mean? Hold it. Let's not all talk at once. What does two becoming one mean? Now it's your turn. Yeah, but what does that mean in the way you think, in the way you live? And that's great. That's great. Your appointment is at 10 o'clock tonight. Okay, what does it mean to become one? Unity. What is unity? Togetherness. All these words pop out. Unity, togetherness. But what does that mean in your marriage? Pardon me? Yeah. Even though we have different outlooks. And it's normal. Like, for example, when a woman says she doesn't have anything to wear, what she's really mean is she has nothing new. When a man says he doesn't have anything to wear, what he's really meaning is he doesn't have anything clean. Isn't that the truth? We think different. We actually, women look out of pink lenses, and guys look out of blue lenses. It's really true. And part of that has to do with the way our brains work. So, okay, here's the science lesson. You have your left and your right hemisphere. And then you have your frontal lobes, right? So you got this left and right hemisphere frontal lobes. All right, so when a male is born, he actually has testosterone that runs through his body. There's connecting fibers between the left and the right hemisphere. The testosterone actually disconnects some of those connecting fibers between the left and the right hemisphere. And what that causes is for a man to be predominantly left-brained, which is analytical. That's why they say men are like waffles. Waffles have little holes. They do. And so when a man wakes up in the morning, he thinks in his head 1, 2, 3, and 4. And he accomplishes them that way. He goes from one hole, then he finishes that, and he goes to the next hole. So that's why us women, when we tell him when he's in the middle of something, and we tell him, hey, can you just do this? Can't you just wait? And then we hear that as, you don't love us. It gets all mixed up. But what it is a man actually, they conquer each compartment as they're working at a time. Women more like spaghetti. We just kind of, that's why we can multitask. You know, we can do one thing, we're over here, and then we can do this over here, and we don't have that problem of pulling us to one thing and the other. And the reason for that is because we don't have that testosterone that eats those connecting fibers. So we actually use, I'm telling you the truth, I don't know why you guys are laughing. I'm telling you, we use both sides of our brain more evenly. Isn't that the truth? It's true, guys. It's true. There's all kinds of things that we are different and the same. For example, guys actually have thicker skulls. I'm not saying that in a negative factor at all. they actually do have thicker bones in their head. And why is that? Why is that? Because guys are risk takers. They're risk takers. You know? You don't see girls riding their skateboards and jumping off at the curb. Oh, this was so funny. I got to tell you, this was a crack up. We have Joel Booker, who is our associate pastor. He's got this little boy. He's like 7 years old. He is the cutest thing in the world. He is so ornery, and he's so much fun. So he took their stroller the other day because they have four children, and she has a baby. And so he tells the dad, you know, can I have the stroller? And I'm standing there watching, and the dad takes the baby out of the stroller, and then he just like this, and he goes, and then he looks, and he opens the church doors, and he's gone with that stroller. So he's pushing that stroller, and then he pushes it hard. I think he thought it was a tank, and it goes off the curb. But what the lady, the elderly lady, didn't know was that the baby wasn't in it. And so you have Trenton pushing the thing, and it's going off the curb into the parking lot, and then this other lady's going, and I was standing back there. I was laughing so hard, I thought it was just a hoot. So back to the difference between men and women. Did you know why women, why it's harder for us to lose weight? It's, I know, you always wanted to know this. I know you always wanted to know this. The reason being is because we have these insulation stuff under our skin, and it makes it harder for us to lose weight, but it also makes us softer. That's why you're rough. Guys, God does all this on purpose. Yeah, that's why it's harder. That's why it's harder. I know. Guys, God does this all perfect. So, back on track. What does this have anything to do with connectedness? It has nothing to do with it. Okay. We're talking about what it means to be one. You know what it means to me to be one? First of all, we got to be one with God, right? Secondly, if you have that component in your marriage, you know how you both are really trying and you're trying to serve God. It really is like a stone that gets dropped in a puddle of water. It kind of reverberates out. And then what happens is you got your family and then the church. And it all just works together if you do that one component together. Okay, and that's live for God. Does that mean we're all perfect? No. We can all be on different levels. So like wives, you can't expect your husband to be on a certain level, because that's not fair to him, okay? So what we do is we just take care of our own relationship with God. Sometimes I'll have wives tell me, and they'll say, Beth, my husband isn't as spiritual as me. I'm not joking. And it's a frustration for them. And the truth of the matter is, you just take care of your own salvation, and everything else will work out all right. Okay, so when we're talking about being connected together, being one, what I'm talking about is doing things together. Like even our bank accounts together. I'm concerned when I hear people I'm concerned when I hear people say, this is her and this is mine. And this is her mom and this is mine, instead of this is, you know, once you married into that family, she became your mom. And this became your dad, and vice versa. We don't separate that. When your kids are bad, it does not become his kids. Mm-mm. These are your kids. So, an important step. You guys ready? All right, we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to give you a couple of important points. How do you do this? Well, one thing. Number one, you have to be totally ready to die to yourself every day. Okay? I'm not saying to allow your husband or your wife to step on you. That's not what that's about. But this is about what makes them happy. What kind of things do they like? Okay, so die to yourself every day. Another step towards oneness is listen to things that matter most to them. Take the time. Listen. Notice things. What matters? What do they like? What are they? That's one of the reasons we did that little deal. I need you to take some notice. What do they do? Three, look at the world through their eyes. Sometimes they're tired. Don't take it personal, women, if a man comes home and he's upset. Don't take it personal. Find out what's bothering him. Find out what it is that you can do. It's always okay to say to your husband, is there anything I can do to make your life easier? I'm being serious. I actually do that. I'll do it to my pastor even. Is there anything I can do to make your life easier? And usually it's such a little thing. And it makes all the difference in the world. So we want to do those things. All right, let me explain a few things about sex drives. Most studies show that men's sex drives are not only stronger than women, but more straightforward. Women are driven towards sex primarily by their feelings and emotion and environment. Let me explain this. Okay, because this is really important. For example, if the kids aren't asleep, or maybe we have a child that's sick, women don't usually feel intimate. Because we connect whatever's going around in our world with intimacy. And it just sets us off. It could be as simple as we feel fat that week. And so that doesn't make us feel attractive. And then we don't want to have sex. It has nothing to do with you. Or that we don't even enjoy sex with you. It's the fact that we don't feel good about us. It could be as simple as us having a bad hair day. You don't understand that, do you, about having a bad hair day, do you? That's why you don't understand. You don't care. Okay, I'm telling you this. Another bit of advice here. For men, his sexual desire is motivated by all things physical. He doesn't care if he's having a bad hair day. He doesn't care, really, if the kids are sick. He doesn't care if the house is not clean. You know, I mean, let's be honest, women. If our house is not clean and we don't have things together and we're thinking about we have to go to the grocery store, that knocks out the whole sex part. Okay, but I'm here to say that's not really fair to them. I'm here to tell you men so that you get a better understanding of where we're at. Okay, as far as that. Men are not like that at all. Never mind. What I'm trying to tell you, men, is that for women, their circumstances and events that seem to have absolutely nothing to do with sex might have everything to do with your wife's sex drive. Okay? So I'm telling you all that because I want you guys to talk about this tonight. Because how many of you actually talk about sex to each other? What you like and what you don't like? Two people, three people, four people, five. Yeah, good. Because it's okay to communicate. And women, men should not be the only ones that actually start. You know, sometimes you want him and you need to be okay with yourself to ask him for sex. It's okay. And what I have women all over the world tell me, they say, you know what, Beth, but it's tradition. Men are supposed to be the one to kind of ask for sex, and that's not true. There's nothing wrong. A man will interpret, if you don't do that sometimes, they'll interpret it personal, like you don't want them, or maybe you're not attracted to them. So, it's okay sometimes to instigate. Men and women are simply different. Nevertheless, like I said, our biggest differences, that's not the problem, our differences, as much as it is me, 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 me. And that's where I kind of want to hit that point tonight. This cannot be about me, 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 me. What is it that you can do for each other? All right, So this is what I want you to ask yourselves or ask your spouses tonight. So write it down, everybody. What are some simple adjustments that we can make together to have a more satisfying sex life? When you go to your rooms tonight, I want you to talk about this. What is it that we can do to have a more satisfying sex life? And it's important. Tell me why it's important. Why is it important? One, for women, it's also that emotional connectedness. How do women feel intimacy? Women feel intimacy by talking. Sometimes people will say, well, you know, my wife wants me to hug. It's really more than being hugged. Women want communication. Women talk an average of 20,000 words a day. How many do men talk? Close. 7,000, a third of what women talk. And part of that has to do with the way we communicate. Now, women, I just want to teach you a couple things here. The reason why when we're explaining something to our husbands that they shut down is because we come at it at this from this way. We're telling them something, so we're coming at it from this way. Okay, so we're coming at it from this way. And then they don't make the correct responses. So maybe they look at their phone or they look around or something. And so then we think that they didn't hear us, right? So then we come at it from this way. And then they're still not responding the way we want them to respond. Because really we want them to respond like a woman would respond. And they don't respond like a woman because they're not women. And so we come at it this way. And then we come at it this way. And so by the second time, the men have shut down. And so what happens when a man shuts down? It hurts our feelings. And we interpret that as, you don't love us. See how it goes all kind of weird? And all it is you hurt us the first time. So when your wife talks to you, how do you respond in a way that lets her feel validated, that you actually heard her? Tell me. Huh? What do you do? He said, repeat or give her feedback. Okay, so that can be good to a point, but let me tell you, most women only want to be heard. Yeah, we don't want you to fix it. And if you try to fix the problem, yeah, if you try to fix the problem, men, we think that you're not listening to us. I know that sounds crazy. Because if a man has a problem and he ever goes to another man, he says, okay, hey, buddy, this is what's going on. You go, well, you know, you need to do this. And you go, thank you. And then you go, right? But that's not women. Women talk through their problems. And so for you, the best thing to do is just to listen. That's really all we want you to do, is to listen. Don't tell us, if we're telling you that this girl did this, can you believe that she did that? And she said that to me about my shoes and whatever. And then he says, well, why do you even talk to her? Guys, that's a stab to the heart. It has nothing to do with the woman. Now it's become about you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you guys. You're shaking your head. What are you thinking? It's good, right? It's the truth. Isn't that the truth, ladies? Yeah, so don't fix it. Just listen. And so then what do you guys do then? Tell me. What do you guys do?
I do just what you said. But it's gonna always start from New York to, I mean, it's never just, okay, such and such. Okay, well, yeah. But it's got, you gotta give the whole, set the scene.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I'm dozing off.
Detail.
Smiling, you know.
Your appointment's at 11. No, you know what? He really does explain a man perfectly. That's exactly what happens. And so as women, good advice. Men do better if we just kind of get to the point. Because guys, you didn't have to. Calm down, guys. If we get to the point, okay? And then sometimes it's good if we think they're not listening, you can actually say, so what did I say? That's what I tell my husband. So what did I say? And he goes, okay, you said this. And then I'll get it. Okay? So, guys, you need to listen. But women, we need to curtail the details. Because they're not women. Yeah, they just kind of want to hear it and they want to move on. Now, one of the things I do with my husband that really helps, like if I have something I kind of want to tell him, instead of giving him a lot of detail, I kind of just... I tell him something, and I just drop it in his bucket, and then I move on. And then I come back to it. Like, for example, I spent $300 today. Wait. Now you guys want details? Now you want the details. Yeah. Guys, this is not fair. Okay. So we're just kind of touching on a couple of things. We're going to touch on some more things tomorrow. I'm actually going to try to cover stuff about finances and marriage. Okay, so we're going to cover that tomorrow. There's a sheet of paper right there on finance that I need you to kind of work through before you come back tomorrow. Do you see it? Pursuing financial security? Okay, I need you to answer that, both of you, separately, and then we're going to work on some of those things because finances happens to be one of the number one things that marriages break up. So we're going to cover some of that, okay? And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the difference between men and women and how we think about finance. Because we totally think about finance differently. And then we're going to talk about how you can become financially secure. Okay? We're going to work through that too. Okay? All right. God bless you.
Yes. We appreciate Sister Bounce tonight and everything that she's brought. And if you love and appreciate the good advice and the good word that she's brought, let's give her some appreciation. Yeah. Where would you like those? Can they just drop them here?
Yeah. When you guys get ready to leave, any kind of questions that you might have so we can cover those.
The little notepads that are scattered along the table there, there's several pages. If you have several pages of questions, you might want to, we have others here, but you want to just drop those off. Don't sign those. Those are to be anonymous. And so people tend to ask better questions when it's anonymous. This is excellent tonight. She's helping us, and I really, really appreciate this. Be sure to do your homework and do your assignments and make sure you have good conversation about all these things that she suggested tonight. Tomorrow, it's 9 o'clock class. It's 8:30 for breakfast. There's a buffet right here in this room, so you come here for breakfast, and then the class is at 9 o'clock. And we will go long, so you want to be checked out of your room before you come to class in the morning, so that you don't somebody doesn't do away with your suitcase and all your stuff, and. The menu I could give you, but I'm not, because it's breakfast. The temperature in your room is set deviously and I can't understand the system, but they set it at the desk. So you have to call if you want your temperature changed. What you do on the wall, it's not going to have any effect on that at all. So there's probably some university doing a psychological study here, and they're going to watch you. I don't know. Sheraton used to do that, and I hate them. I hate the Sheraton and all the people there because of that. I mean, don't you? So anyway, call the you know how their phone's going to be blown up? I don't know how they're going to do that. Anyway, contact the front desk. 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, so and they'll check that out for you. So tonight, have a good time of fellowship. Remember the books. I have additional books here if you're not familiar with, or you already have the copy that's there for you. You want to trade with someone else, or you want to get another title from here. I want you to all go away with one. These books are best read together and shared together. That's a good exercise for you, and that's part of why we do this and what we are about here. So God bless you, love you. Let's pray and ask God to let all of this good information root itself in our hearts and in our minds and our families. Just lay hands on somebody there by you, just randomly, maybe your wife or husband, and take their hands and let's pray for one another. God, we love you. We give you praise and thanks, and we bless you.